Okay, well, thank you everyone for showing up today. My presentation is has a very fancy name for what is really not a very fancy concept, but basically I wanted to talk a little bit today about how we've used system automation to improve our reportable disease surveillance data quality. So just a very, very quick background, and hopefully this presentation will really kind of set the stage for the other speakers who may have a little bit more sophisticated presentations to give. But I think we all realize that electronic information systems are really core to effective surveillance for reportable diseases. They help us kind of integrate external data and internal data and make that data immediately available for decision-making purposes. So in Florida, we use Merlin, which is a web-based system for reporting. We have a number of data collection and management and analysis features within the system. We built it in-house. It's been in place for about 15 years now. It operates in all of our 67 counties, and we have a large number of users. We have over 500 users in our 67 counties. So in Florida, the case investigation, the casework, the data collection is happening at the county level. So they are really the owners of the data. They're responsible for collecting the data, entering the data into Merlin, making sure that the data are accurate, making corrections and updates as necessary. At the state level, we have case reviewers who go in and individually review every case, and that's kind of the role that our state level users play. And I'll talk a little bit more about this, but we do not make changes to the data. At the state level, we send the cases back to the counties since they are the owners to make updates. And we're still, even with the case review process, we still have identified a lot of data quality items that need to be improved. And over the years, we've really tried to automate those strategies as much as possible. So if there's a concrete rule that can be defined, we have tried to implement an automated check for that. Of course, that's way more systematic and efficient than actually depending on humans to identify those mistakes and correct them. So I don't want to make it sound like we have just identified data quality as an issue. This has been something that we have worked on since the inception of Merlin. As I said, about 15 years ago, we've always had, and we started out with the more kind of rudimentary data quality pieces. We had required fields, so you couldn't report a case without having a case classification of confirmed, probable, or suspects. We've always had specific field types, so dates or multiple choice drop-down menus, and that's a really effective way to make sure that you're not getting junk data into your system. Then over the years, we've gradually added a lot more logic and requirements. To try and improve that data quality. So now we have actually a fair number of tables that define different rules associated with different diseases and what type of laboratory results are required for each case classification of each disease and which risk factor screens are required for which diseases. And we've really continually identified problems in our data, and as we identify those problems, we have tried to address them over time, and really every one of our Merlin releases includes data quality additions or logic checks. So we have kind of three main categories for data quality. The first one, we have system automated checks, and these are case save stoppers, so you can't save until these items are correct. We have case report stoppers. So once you've completed your case and you are quote-unquote reporting it, submitting it to the state office for review and for submission to CDC, we have a number of checks that occur at that point. The next kind of check that we have, which we've more recent, this is our most recent addition, and this is a system automated check that has a user override. So this is really looking at improbable scenarios, so comparing multiple fields to try and identify things that are most likely data errors. And I'll talk more about this as well. And then the last kind of feature that we have is system facilitated business processes. So we use Merlin to really facilitate our case review process as well as to help us do our data cleaning at the end of the year. So a little bit more about our case save, our system automated checks. Our case save stoppers occur every time the case is saved. And it evaluates logic that should be true at all times. So this is things like you have to have a valid date format. You can't have a text, you can't have words in your date fields, you can't have future dates in your date fields. And then a lot of it, a lot of these checks are really comparing date pieces. So your the date that the CHD or your county health department was notified has to be after the onset date. And all of your case-related dates have to be after birth date. The next category is the case report stoppers. And this is really more focusing on completeness and reporting requirements and general logic. So it's not just looking at one field or even two fields. It's making sure that there are positive labs attached with the appropriate test types, or making sure that all of your required fields have values, making sure that every case has an assigned county, someone who's responsible for it. And then our data quality checks, which, as I mentioned, these are our most recent additions. These also occur at the time that a case is reported, but the point of this is really to identify improbable scenarios. So there are situations where this is a valid scenario. So we need to have the ability to override this data check. This is our report screen. So the green box at the top, these are our case report stoppers. So you have to have green checks here. If you have an X here, you have to back up, go back to your case, and fix the data scenario. At the bottom, these are data quality checks, which are those improbable scenarios. And if you have a red X here, you can acknowledge, check this box. Check the box to acknowledge that this scenario is correct, and then provide a text explanation. And for our case review process, this is kind of a diagram of how it works, and I'm running short on time, so I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. Basically, the county users submit their case. It goes to a case reviewer task list. The task list is divided into different buckets, which helps facilitate prioritizing for the case reviewer of what needs to be reviewed right now. You can click directly into the case from that case task list to review on one screen all of the data associated with that case, and then either accept or return it to the county with notes requesting updates. When it goes back to the county task list, they have also buckets that help them prioritize as well. So cases that have not yet been reported, cases that are waiting for you to make updates. And eventually there's, you know, a lot of back and forth, and eventually the case is accepted. And that is the end of the process. It's really nice to have this within the system so that these case reviewers aren't trying to maintain the list of outstanding tasks in a separate spreadsheet, which did happen in the past. This is just a very, very small picture of our end-of-year report, and basically the point of this is to see that we do have a lot of data checks that we're running at the end of the year. So for this analysis, which was pretty simplistic analysis, we wanted to look at 5 years of data and see how the data had improved. So we looked at 33 different checks from the Merlin end-of-year report. So we chose 33 of these checks, mostly looking at the logic checks, which identify impossible scenarios, which indicates that we probably have a bug in our system that needs to be fixed. And then the data quality checks, which are those improbable scenarios. So the data may be accurate, and you would expect to have some volume of those in a completely clean data set. So this is the number of violations that were identified from 2010 to 2014, and you can see it went down pretty dramatically. Those are the yellow bars. The line across the top is the number of cases reported, just to show that we did not have a decrease in cases that was responsible for the decrease in the violations. And then breaking it down into the logic checks, which indicate a bug, versus the quality checks, which indicate the improbable scenarios, you can see that the logic checks went down to close to zero, not actually zero, which is to be expected because this does indicate a system problem that we shouldn't be having these scenarios. The logic checks also decreased pretty significantly, although they're still around 10,000, which is a huge number. And I think one of the things that's been really useful for us to go through this process is to really identify the things that we need to fix within our system and the types of things that we need to improve in the system and provide education for our users. So a very quick summary. We had an 88% decrease in all of the violations. That's a 99% decrease in the logic checks and a 77% decrease in the improbable data quality checks. This summary, these data were very easy to pull based on the report that we have in Merlin. And as I mentioned, this has really helped highlight some areas for improvement for us. So this is the list of the high burden violations from 2014. And you know, for each of these, we've kind of come up with a how we're going to address these. For onset date with no symptoms, that means that the user has indicated that there was an onset date but hasn't actually marked any symptoms. So this is our highest volume one. We have a strategy for fixing this. We're going to make that screen required and have an asymptomatic checkbox. So users will now have to go to that screen to be sure that we're capturing all of the symptom data. We have identified a couple of problems with the notify date, the day that the CHG, the County Health Department, has said that they were notified of the case versus the days from the laboratory date, which should be a very small number. They shouldn't have received a lab report date and then be entering the date as, you know, 2 weeks later. So that has helped us identify a couple of problems, some user education issues, as well as some problems with ELR. I have 2 minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and skip on to the last slides, which really just summarize what we view as the benefits for the system automation, as it's really significantly reduced the number of errors that we have in reported cases. The users are fixing those errors right up front instead of having to be corrected at the end of the year. It's also decreased the time for the state-level case review. Those case reviewers are not having to try to identify those logic errors or even the improbable scenarios. They've already been identified, corrected. For the improbable scenarios, there are even notes explaining why the situation is accurate. And it's really allowed the county users to focus more on doing the follow-up with the cases and providing education in the community, which I think is a more useful way for them to spend their time. It's also really significantly reduced the amount of time it takes for us to clean up the data at the end of the year. So some kind of high-level conclusions. Data quality is, of course, the key attribute for surveillance systems. It's very important, and it's very hard to, as I'm sure the rest of you guys will agree, it's hard to get that data quality to be good. It takes a lot of time and thought about how you can really leverage the automation to improve that. And of course, identifying your data quality issues as early in the process is really the most efficient way to do it. And it really frees up people to spend time working on more important activities related to reportable disease surveillance. So that is what I had to share with you today. So
if anybody gets questions, there's a microphone here. So please feel free to ask questions.
Cool. How did you decide what your different checks were going to be?
We have basically identified them over time. I mean, we included all of the data checks that we have identified and implemented. We included all of those within this analysis. Most of those are identified through just kind of looking at the data at the end of the year. A lot of them have been brought to our attention by the case reviewers who come to us and say, well, you know, gosh, I keep seeing this particular scenario and this can't be right. We can't have a case marked as secondary transmission, but it's also marked as sporadic. And I'm, you know, wasting a lot of time on this. So that feedback from the users has actually been really helpful in identifying those scenarios.
Hi, Steve Smith from Massachusetts. I really like that you send cases back to the local Board of Health or whatever the institution is to fix, and you're sharing that responsibility. What happens if they don't?
Well, that's a good question. So, and just to clarify, we're sending these back to our county health department. So they are then either, if they have the information to correct the data, they do. If they don't have the information to correct it, this is why we still have this many problems. I think one of the things that we've really struggled with every year, and I admit that we procrastinate and we leave our data cleaning until the very last second, and every year you know, we have to kind of prioritize the issues that we're going to track down and really try and make the counties fix. So I think that one of the things that that has really been beneficial to improving this process is that every year we're able to spend more time with the counties and have them correct more of these issues. One of the things part of the data that I didn't show does have to do with our end of year data check does monitor the number of cases that are still on county task lists or on case reviewer task lists, and that has also really decreased. I didn't include that here because it's not necessarily due to the system automation. It's really more due to us hounding those case reviewers in person and asking them to get the information.